It's good to see this great number come back tonight as we study another portion of what God's Word has to say. I do want to encourage us to look at the book of Psalm 119. We're going to be picking a few passages in this grand Psalm division that is very powerful. And as you're turning there, it reminds me of Samuel when he was about to begin his work for the Lord, his first prophecy, if you will, and how the Bible teaches us that Samuel did not allow the word of God to drop to the ground. He had great respect for the word of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible goes on to say in the 21st verse that the Lord appeared unto Samuel, and he appeared unto him, notice, by the word of the Lord. It's interesting that God himself appeared to that great man, Samuel, by his word. And God still gives us his word, thus showing us who he is. Well, the psalmist in Psalm 119, don't know who it is, but we do know that he must have been a great man of God, had great respect for God, because in these 176 verses, we see that they're alluding to the Word of God. I think but just three passages are not alluding to God's Word as relates to the Word of God being directly said. But all 176 verses are alluding to his word. I find it very interesting that when we consider Psalm 119, you look at the first three verses, and he just comes right off the bat with some great teaching that is worthy of our consideration. Notice these verses. Blessed are the undefiled, the blameless in the way, who walk in the law, talking about the Mosaic system of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, meaning the evidences, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, meaning that they're not violent people, those who walk in his way. Now, think about that, friends. Here, we broke that passage down as we were reading it, and the blameless literally pay attention to God's word. Friends, we ought to be a people who are paying attention to the Word of God. And as we're paying closely attention to the evidences which God has given us, our very lives become the evidence of what we read and study. Kind of reminds me of the book of Hebrews chapter 11. You know, and we look at Hebrews chapter 11 and we have to understand it in the way that it was written. Friends, those who had faith in God, their very lives were the evidence that God existed and his word was in their hearts. Our lives must be the evidence of God's existence. Look at verses 9 through verse number 11. In verses 9 through 11, we see submission. Notice these passages. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Now, the word of God is the primary focus, friends. By taking heed according to your word, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Friends, if we're going to maintain faithfulness and holiness, we have to stay with God's word. Which means that we have to spend time with the Word of God. It's one thing I love about the people of God, those who are striving to be faithful. They are the ones that peer into the Word of God every single day. They meditate upon it every single day. They're striving to be what God would have them to be every single day. And this particular man here says, oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Those things that are moral, right, just, true, honest. But I love what he says in verse number 9. And for our young people, notice, how can a young man or a young person cleanse his ways? If I ever find myself morally impure, if I find my thoughts going in a direction that they should not be going, if I find myself looking at things or hearing things, seeing things that I shouldn't be looking at, how can I purify my mind? How can I cleanse my way? By taking heed to God's word. And friends, God's word will never lead us astray. It will always lead us back to Him. And this is why it's important for the man of God when he's teaching and preaching, that he's preaching and teaching, thus saith the Lord. Because no false doctrine gets you close to God, not one. Why? Because God is truth. Drop down to verse 25. Verse 25 through verse 28, love these passages here. Notice what he has to say. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your what? To your word. Why are people trying to be revived in some other way other than the word of God? He says, I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. Here it is. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your what? To your word. The key in that particular passage, Brother Pope George, is strengthen. Establish me. Make me strong. How are we made strong even today? By thy word. By the word of God. Friends, I can't stress that enough. God can't stress that enough, that it is according to his word when we take it into our hearts and we meditate upon it. When our hearts are melting with heaviness, how can I be made strong again? Through God's word. Through his word. Drop down to verse 49. Verse 49 and 50. Notice. Well, we could talk about all of these psalms. These verses in Psalm 176, I could, you know, spend much time in these psalms. But notice verse 49 and 50. Remember the word of your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. Notice this. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Does that remind you of a New Testament passage? It reminds me of many in the New Testament, but John 6, verse 63, I'm reminded of what Jesus said. My words are spirit, and they are life. You know, we have people, and we probably all said it at one time or another. Man, that car, that wife, that husband, that child, that's my life. No. Jesus is our life. It's interesting that God didn't give us our choice, if you will. He gave us life through his son, Jesus Christ. If anything, Jesus is our life. His word is our life. It is what establishes us, strengthens us, settles us, helps us. It's God's word. It gives me life. No wonder when we think of his word, it is a lamp unto our feet. And we'll look at those here in a few minutes. Drop down to verse number 71 and 72. Even in the midst of suffering, God's word strengthens, it helps, it encourages. But look at this verse, friends. This verse always intrigues me. And when I study it with people, they look at it kind of strange. The psalmist said in verse 71 and 72, he says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Hold on, psalmist. Are you saying that it's good that I have undergone some struggle, some trial, some tribulation, some suffering? You're saying it's good? It is good that I have been afflicted. Why? That I may learn your statutes. It is good that I have learned some suffering. Who in here likes to suffer? I don't know too many people that like to suffer. We don't want to suffer from too much. But the psalmist, because of this relationship with the Lord, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, troubled, that I may learn your statutes. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. We'll see the same concept with our dear brother Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse number 9, matter of fact, start in verse number 8. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse number 8, Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, notice, which is from the law, but that which is through faith, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God, in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, his affliction. Hold on. Jesus, you took a beating for our sins. You died for our sins. You were mistreated. They judged you. They gave you this mock kangaroo trial. It was unfair. Hold on. If I go according to God's word, if I follow Jesus in his steps, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through verse number 22, if I follow in his steps, it might lead me into the suffering. It just might. It just might. It is good that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. A lot of times we're running from the affliction. Here the psalmist says, you know, the things that I've been going through, they haven't been in my favor per se as it relates to maybe my body, maybe my mind, and I'm going through a hard time, but it's good that I've been through this. I'm learning some things. Sometimes we have to go through some things to learn some things. An old preacher one time said, you have to go through it to get to it. That's good preaching right there. Sometimes we don't want to go through it, but here he says, it's good that I have been afflicted. Paul prayed that I go through that suffering. He prayed for that. When was the last time you prayed to go through suffering that you may learn some things from the Lord? Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. That's a powerful passage. Job said one time, he said, I desire your word more than my necessary food. Wow. Something about the word of God. Drop down to verse 89. There's stability in God's word. This is why we shouldn't get away from the old ancient landmarks. This is why we ought to stand on what is true. In Psalm 119, verse number 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hold on. That means if I want to go and change God's word, I need to jump up into the metaphysic realm of God and go up there and chastise him for what he has said because I don't trust it. Of course not. God's word is settled. That's why when a man adds to God's word, Deuteronomy 4 and verse number 2, Proverbs 30 and verse number 6, Revelation 22, 18 and 19, when he adds to God's word, takes away from God's word, he is messing with the very mind of God. Friends, it's been settled. And notice what he says. Your faithfulness endures to all generation, meaning it is perpetual. Isn't it amazing that the things that God said to Adam, we're able to read it some 6,000 years later? Isn't that powerful? And we know it's true because God is true and there's no lie in the truth. 1 John 2, verse 21. But here, notice what he says. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances. For all of your servants, unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. What? Hold on. If God's word wasn't his delight, he would have went astray. He'd have died in his sins. And many today are dying in their sins because they're not heeding to God's word, God's will, God's way. The examples that God has left us in his word and even amongst his people. We judge the earth. We judge the world by our lifestyle. What a blessing we are even to a world that's fallen into sin. Drop down to verse number 96. Notice what he says. He says, I have seen the consummation of all perfection. But your commandments is exceedingly broad. You know what he's saying there, friends? He says, your word never comes to an end. That's beautiful, friends. That's something you have to go home and ponder. Because when we consider God's word, it's large, it's wide. You can't get around it. You can't get over it. You can't get under it. You got to go through it. God's word must be heeded to if we're going to be the people that he have called us to be. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. Listen, it is my meditation all the day. There's sometimes I listen to a song, and sometimes I try not to listen to music. But every now and then I get one of those mentalities that I need a music fix, Brother Brian. I just want to listen to a little music. And then I said, man, why did I listen to that? Now I can't get that song out of my head. Oh, if you was reading passages, scripture, oh, I just can't get that verse out my head. This is the last time you said that. I can't get that verse out of my head. I was sitting there reading the scriptures. I just can't get John 3:16 out of my head. I can't get Romans 8:28 out of my head. I can't get Revelation 22 out of my head. You shouldn't want to. You want to keep it in your mind that you may love it, meditate upon it. Why? Because it is your strength every single day. Drop down to verse number 105 and 106. 105, I'm sorry. Here God's word is used in a figure of speech. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Isn't it interesting? You think about the time in which this was recorded. And you consider the psalmist as maybe he's walking outside and he has his lantern and his kerosene lamp or whatever he may have. And as he is walking, he has the light in front of him, so he's not stepping into any pitfalls, or maybe stepping on top of a serpent, or making sure that he is safe. Isn't God's word to help us to keep from falling into pits, so we don't have to worry about those serpents, especially those two-legged serpents? Y'all get that one? Y'all ever seen those two-legged serpents? I've seen a couple of them in my day, two-legged serpents. Just make sure you're not one two-legged serpent. Here, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. God wants us to use his light. Isn't it interesting? 1 John 1, verse 5, God is light. Him there's no darkness at all. Walk in the light. 1 John 1 and verse number 7, Jesus is the light of the world. John 8, verse number 12, isn't it interesting that God's word is light? God is light. Jesus is light. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13 through 16, we're the light. It's all about that light. About that light of the glorious gospel. So we're surrounded by light. Jesus, God hides himself in the light. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 16. It's interesting that those who love the light, if you die in the light, you'll be surrounded by light. But if you love darkness, you die in darkness. Book of Jude, you'll be surrounded by darkness. It's interesting. I don't know who I was talking to. Maybe, Corey on lunch. God gives us exactly what we want. If you are a person, if we are a people who love the light, walking according to the light. And the light is our meditation. And if we die in Christ, we die in light. We go to Abraham's bosom, we end up with God, and God is light. It gives us what we want. But if we love the darkness, we die in our sins. Jesus said, you die in your sins, why I can't come. He gives us what we want. Supernatural darkness. Why? Because God removes himself, and when God removes himself, it just leaves darkness. And you know, in hell, people who die and they're lost in torment, that's not even the bad part. The bad part is eternal, where it's going to be darkness, supernatural darkness, just utter darkness, as Jude brings out. The blackness of darkness, as Peter brings out. So dark that you won't even be able to see in front of you. And then you add the element of burning with that. All by yourself. And we live in a society where people don't want to be by themselves. They just got to be around people, whether virtually or they just got to be around people. But hold on, you got to spend time with God by yourself sometimes. But in hell, you're all by yourself. Friends, God made us relational. It's not good for man to be alone. So you're talking about marriage? Yeah, but some deeper truths to there. He made us relational. We love fellowship. And that's why our fellowship must be fellowship in the light. So we consider some of those thoughts. Let's walk in the light so we can end up in the light. We can live with the light. We can live with God. Drop down to 129 and 130. Your testimonies, notice what the psalmist says. He says, your testimonies are wonderful. I could just see him writing this down and saying this. He said, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. Really, we want to keep things that are wonderful. Yet, the interest of your word gives light. Literally, the unfolding of your word, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It's the idea of the light bulb going off in your mind. It's one of those aha moments. Something about God's word when the lamp is in front of you. It's leading you. It's guiding you. And you're pondering on it and meditating upon it. And then you have one of those, okay, I get it now. But it gives understanding to the simple. Drop down to 140. Notice what he says. He says, your word is somewhat pure. Is that what your Bible says? That's not what mine says either. He says, your word is very pure. Blessed are the pure in heart. Those who have understanding. Those whose eyes are so pure, so straight, so understanding that they see God. Friends, when we have a pure understanding, we're able to see God. And this is why, friends, we ought to always be, listen to this point, searchers of the truth. You keep digging till you find the truth. Let's not settle for the truth that's on top of the surface, but let's continue to dig and find truth. And we can find it. And we must find it. And God will help us find it. So God is good that he allows us to find truth. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. Look at verse 148. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Think about that. Have you ever studied and something that you studied in God's word woke you up? I mean, you're like, and then you get up and you got to have a little piece of paper and a pen next to you. Let me write that down, because if I go to sleep, I'm not going to get it. Friends, think about this. He says, my eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. I leave you with this one. This is beautiful. 160. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. You know what the psalmist is saying? Everything in your word is absolutely true. You know, when you're studying, here's a good passage. This one passage is good that teaches us that if we're going to study correctly, we need to gather all of the information before we draw a conclusion. Sometimes we like to take a passage or two and we form a doctrine on that one or two passages. But what if there are 15 other passages? What if there are 500 other passages like the Holy Spirit? There are like 500 and like 35 passages concerning the Holy Spirit. It takes years to go through those passages. But you think of something that's so simple as maybe the doctrine of light, which probably only have like about 45 passages. Or the doctrine of children, we were looking at the other day, which only has like about 15, 20 passages. And then you have those passages that's only like two or three passages. You want all of the information. You want to bring it all in. And as you bring it all in, you draw your conclusion. The sum of thy word is true. Which means that we can find all of the passages concerning a specific teaching, and we can conclude safely what God teaches on that subject without addition or subtraction. Question, how much do you love and view Psalm 119? It is our meditation all of the day. Let's have a word of prayer and then I'll offer the invitation. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you for your word. It is definitely a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We're so thankful that it has been settled forever in heaven. We pray, the Father, that we will always strive to allow it to be our meditation. With so many distractions in our lives sometimes, it's hard to meditate upon it because we have other things in our hearts. Help us to hide your word in our hearts. And help us to realize that affliction sometimes comes because of your word. Father, help us to take all of your word on that subject and study your mind that we may know what we must do in order to be right, to stay right, and to help others get right with thee. Father, be with the congregation here. Be with our families. So thankful for those who are here on tonight. Pray that you will bless them according to thy will and that they will always respect thy word because it is definitely a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It gives us wisdom. It gives us knowledge. It gives us understanding. So help us to always be mindful of that and go to you for everything that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider doing that which is right. That's heeding to the gospel, the light of the glorious gospel. And the only way that you can come into a relationship with the Father is through the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ. If your conscience has been seared as a hot iron, the only way to have sin removed from that seared conscience, defiled conscience, is through the gospel and the blood of Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn away from sin by repenting. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're a child of God and, well, you need special prayer. If we can do anything to help you, let us stand as we sing the Savior's invitation.